It's on its way. Good morning. Welcome to Good Shepherd. So we gather here to receive God's word, celebrate his gifts, and we want to, I'll do this in advance because I often forget to either do it myself or remind Pastor. I want to thank the school children who are singing for us this day. This day is all about the word. The word, the word, the word. The Gentile official that comes to Jesus, he understood the power of Jesus' word. In the Old Testament lesson, Naaman the Syrian comes to Elisha. I always get confused. Where's he at? Elisha. Comes to Elisha, and he doubts the power of God's word, and then it is demonstrated to him as his leprosy is washed away. God's word does what it says. God's word has great and abundant power. Before we begin, let's take a moment. Notice and greet those around you. Remember, in Christ we are one.
Our opening hymn for this morning is number 401, From God the Father, Virgin Born. We'll stand on the last verse of that hymn. We'll pray matins following that hymn, have a worship insert for the day. Readings are on one side, propers are on the other. Our focus will be on the gospel reading from Matthew 8. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. Help us to believe it in any and every situation. Teach us to trust in your will and your word today and always. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Hymn 401.
continue with the order of Matins, page 219. O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O come, let us worship Him. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make the Lord for our salvation.
The Son and the Holy Spirit.
O come, let us worship Him.
We sing the introit together.
Our souls are
587. Please be seated. reading from 2 Kings, chapter 5. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "Would that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord, "Thus and so spoke the girl from the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you Naaman my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy." And when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Only consider and see how he is seeking a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was angry and went away, saying, "Behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. But his servants came near and said to him, "My father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and he came and stood before him. "O Lord, have mercy on us."
Thanks be to God.
We speak the gradual. Nations will fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth will fear your glory. For the Lord builds up Zion, he appears in all glory. A reading from Romans chapter 12. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from St. Matthew, the 8th chapter. When Jesus came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them. When he entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, Go, and he goes, and to another, Come, and he comes, and to my servant, Do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, Truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And to the centurion Jesus said, Go, let it be done for you as you have believed. And his servant was healed at that very moment. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with the common responsory, page 221. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house, and the place where your glory dwells.
Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation, the gospel reading that we heard just a moment ago from Matthew chapter 8. There are two specific spots that I want to focus on today. In the first miracle, in verse 2, the leper says, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And then in the second miracle, the healing of the centurion servant. Verse 8. Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it was 4 weeks ago today that we gathered right here on a Sunday morning, Christmas Day. Doesn't always work out that Christmas Day and Sunday co-align, but here we were on Sunday, the 25th of December, and we were hearing those familiar yet mysterious words from John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And that life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The eternal Word, the Logos, the second person of the Trinity, was coming into this world in an amazing way, in a mysterious way, in a way that is true and yet impossible for us to comprehend. John 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word of God takes on flesh and blood and makes His dwelling inside the womb of the Virgin Mary. God in the flesh is born for us and for our salvation. Ever since that time, we have been unpacking what this mystery of the incarnation, God in the flesh for you, means. What it means as we live and work and laugh and cry and suffer and die. God in the flesh for you. This is a season of Epiphany, the season of revelation, as God reveals Himself to you, for you. We began with the visit of the Magi to the little baby Jesus. Now, a little bit older, no longer in a manger, but in a house. And these foreigners worship this baby as if He is God. 2 weeks ago, Jesus, the sinless Son of God, is baptized in the Jordan River by John. A sinner, John the Baptizer, baptizes Jesus, the sinless one. Jesus' mission and work is revealed to us. To stand as one with us and our sin. More than that, to take our sin into Himself and onto Himself to give us life and salvation. Last week, we saw the first public manifestation of the glory of Jesus Christ as He changes water into wine. He wants us to live life and to have life to the full, provided He is the one that gives us reason to celebrate. And today we have the Word at work, not only for a leper and the servant of a centurion, but we see the Word at work for you. Jesus is the Word of God, the Word made flesh. Jesus is the one who lives and dies and lives again and gives us life and to the full. But this is no mere history lesson, because this Word continues to be at work in you, for you, and through you. Matthew chapter 8. Jesus comes down from the mountain. What mountain? This is the famous mountain where Jesus speaks the Sermon on the Mount. You know the Beatitudes. Blessed are the meek, the poor, the humble. Blessed are you when people mock you and persecute you on account of Me. Jesus unpacks the law for us. You have heard it said, do not murder. I tell you, if you hate somebody in their heart, you have already murdered them. You have heard it said, do not commit adultery. I tell you the truth, if you look at another person lustfully, you've already broken the law. Jesus teaches. Jesus expands. Jesus shows us how we are unable to be righteous on our own. We are sinners through and through, sinful to the core. We need a Savior. We can't save ourselves. Oh, we can try to justify ourselves. We're masters at that. But that will get us nowhere. True justification comes from outside of us, through the bloody death and glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. Who is this Jesus? This Jesus that teaches. This Jesus that has words teaching of authority. He comes down from the mountain and He shows us who He is. The first miracle, we have a leper. Behold, a leper came to Him and knelt before Him saying, Lord, if You will, You can make me clean. Leprosy, incurable disease. We heard the amazing account from 2 Kings chapter 5 of the miraculous healing of Naaman, who almost had to come kicking and screaming to the Word of God and the healing that only He can provide. It's different here. This leper comes in humility. This leper comes and he knows who he is. He's unclean. He's been cut off from his family. He's been cut off from the church. He's been cut off from society. Seemingly cut off from God. In his uncleanness, in his desperation, in his future of hopelessness and death all alone, he has only one place to go. And that's where he goes. He kneels before the Word of God, Jesus, God in the flesh. He kneels before Him and He says words that are really kind of curious, aren't they? He says, Lord, if You will, You can make me clean. If You will, You can make me clean. How much of our lives don't we spend wondering about the will of God? What does God want? We try to figure out the will of God in our lives, in our families' lives, in our church, in our country. When bad things happen, what's the first thing we do? Where was God in all of this? Did God will this to happen? Did God allow this to happen? Was God sleeping? When things hit a little closer to home, when we have a problem, when we have a heartbreak, when we have a sickness or a death, when we have a loss, don't we ask the same questions? What does God want of me? How much longer will He make me suffer? Did God will for this to happen? Did God allow for this to happen? Did God fall asleep and doesn't know what's happening? This leper comes to Jesus, the Word of God in the flesh, and he knows who Jesus is. He knows that God can do all things. Lord, if You will, You can heal me. He prays the same prayer that we pray, except with a little bit of a twist on the words. Remember how Jesus teaches us to pray? When you pray, pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How many times when the preschoolers are learning to pray the Lord's Prayer, since they're not really familiar with the these and the thys and the thous, what comes out of their mouth reveals what's in our hearts. My will be done. Isn't that really what we want? We say the words, thy will be done, but we want God to conform to our will. We want what we want, and we want it on our timetable. But instead, God teaches us to cling to Him and His will, which does not desire the death of the sinner, but that all people believe and live. If we really believe that God desires good for His children, you and me, then we can submit to the will of God in any and every situation. Even when everything around us seems to be going to hell in a handbasket, we can say, Lord, if You will, heal me. Lord, if You will, fix this problem in my life. Lord, if You will, give me the strength or the stamina. Lord, if You will, take away this worry and anxiety. Clinging to the Word and promise of God that He desires only good for His children, and that He teaches and grows and strengthens our faith, oftentimes through pain and suffering. Jesus says to the leper, I will. I will. And the leper is healed. In the second miraculous healing that we have for today, we have an amazing picture of faith. Jesus tells us so. Never has He seen such great faith in all of Israel. And we look at this and we go, well, this doesn't seem like such a big deal. Why is Jesus making such a big deal out of the centurion's comments? How in the world is the centurion an example for my own life and my own walk and my own faith? First of all, the centurion goes to Jesus not about a problem that he personally has. He goes there on behalf of someone else. How many times aren't we too busy worrying about our own issues and our own problems and our own worries that the last thing we think about is somebody else's hurt and somebody else's pain? But that's what the centurion does. He goes to Jesus on behalf of his servant. He goes to Jesus and he says, tells him what the problem is. My servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And Jesus volunteers. He volunteers. I'm coming. I am going to come and heal him. But the centurion says, no! I'm not worthy. The centurion knows who he is. He's a poor, miserable sinner. He's not worthy to have the Son of God in human flesh, the Word of God, enter into his own house. He is not worthy. He is unclean. But then he says, Jesus, you don't need to come to my house. Just say the word. Just say the word. Then he goes on to explain with the only thing he knows. Now, I've never served in the military, but I know a lot of people who do and who have. They know about authority. They know about the Word. When somebody who is a higher ranking officer or position than someone under them says the Word, that Word happens. That Word is followed out. Whether you like it, whether you agree with it, it is done. There is power in the Word. Somebody gives a command and that command is followed. And if it's not, there is hell to pay. The centurion says, Jesus, I know how this works. I know how authority works. There is no higher authority than you, Jesus. The Word, God in the flesh, it can't get any higher than this. You say the Word and it will be done. And Jesus melts. Never have I seen such great faith in all of Israel. My friends, faith owns what it believes. Hear that again. Faith has what it believes. What do you believe? What do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus is God in the flesh? Praise be to God. Do you believe that Jesus is God in the flesh for you? Praise be to God. Do you believe that Jesus is God in the flesh who lived and died and rose again for you? Praise be to God. Do you believe that Jesus, God in the flesh, pours out His forgiveness, life, and salvation through the waters of holy baptism, through the words of absolution, through the Word of the Bible, and through the continuing gift of the Lord's Supper? Praise be to God. Do you believe? Do you believe that God, in His heart of hearts, in His will, desires good for you, His child? Praise be to God. Do you believe that there is power in His Word? Praise be to God. My friends, we live in a world of darkness. Darkness because of our own sin. Darkness because of the evil world around us. Darkness because Satan is real and active. Sometimes this darkness is self-inflicted. Sometimes this darkness has nothing to do with anything we've done, and it attacks us from the outside. But this darkness is real. God's word for you today is that faith sees in the dark. It's a miracle. Faith sees in the dark. How? By the light of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the light of the world, the light no darkness can overcome. Faith sees in the dark by the light of God's Word. The life-giving and life-changing Word of God. My friends, do not become overcome by the darkness. Do not be dragged down by the darkness. Do not become depressed or hopeless because of the darkness. Christ has already overcome darkness for you. Jesus, who was dead in the darkness of the tomb, stone cold dead, rose from the dead, emerging into the light. And He gives us this light. If you want to think of it this way, we live in the light of Epiphany each and every day. My friends, have the courage to pray, "Thy will be done." Have the courage to cling to the authority and the love and the forgiveness of God's Word. Why? Because the Word became flesh for you. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our wills in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Amen. As we have heard the Word of God, let us return our gift of thanks and praise as we sing the Benedictus, the Song of Zechariah, page 226. Please stand.
please be seated.
Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus, the Word of God in flesh and revealed to you, your Savior. Savior from sin, who desires only the best for you. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping with us on the internet or on the radio. We pray that the good news of God's Word for you, at work for you, would be yours today and always. This time also we worship God with our gifts and offerings.
Beginning with the Kyrie, page 227.
Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Almighty and everlasting God, mercifully look on upon our infirmities and stretch forth the hand of your majesty to heal and defend us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Almighty and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for all your goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of your dear Son, and for the revelation of your will and grace. Implant your word in us that, with good and honest hearts, we may keep it and bring forth the fruits of faith. We humbly implore you to rule and govern your church throughout the world. Bless all those who proclaim your truth, that we may be preserved in the pure doctrine of your saving word, and that faith in you may be strengthened, love toward others increased, and your kingdom extended. Send forth laborers into your harvest, and sustain those whom you have sent, that the word of reconciliation may be proclaimed to all people, and the gospel preached in all the world. Grant health and prosperity to all who are in authority over us, especially at President Trump and the Congress of the United States, Governor Ricketts and the legislature of this state, and to all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Grant them grace to rule according to your good pleasure for the maintenance of righteousness and the hindrance and punishment of wickedness, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. Comfort, O God, with your Holy Spirit, all those who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, or any other adversity, especially Jerry, Pam, Lynn, Celeste, Diane, Chip, Nevaeh, Rosa, Ed, Jan, Marianne, Joyce, Sonia, Dee, Laura Lee, Dwayne, Lori, Betty, Bonnie, Ted, Susie, Linda, Anna, Larry, Ralph, Jeff, Warren, Carolyn, Leonard, Kay, Bridget and Sophie, Clyde, Diane, Beth, Faye, Mark, Candy, Betty, Robert, and the son-in-law of Raleigh and Marge Victor. Grant courage and steadfastness, especially to those who suffer for your name's sake, that they may receive and accept their afflictions in the confidence that you acknowledge them as your own. Although we have deserved your righteous wrath and punishment, yet we ask you, O merciful Father, not to remember our sins or our many transgressions. Out of your unspeakable goodness and mercy, defend us from all harm, harm and danger to body and soul. Preserve us from false doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of your mercy, and from an evil death. In every time of trouble, show yourself a very present help, the Savior of all, especially those who believe. Receive, O God, our bodies and souls, and all our talents, together with the offerings we bring to you. For by his blood your Son has purchased us to be your own, that we may live under him in his kingdom. These and whatsoever other things you would have us ask of you, O God, grant us for the sake of Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, number 620. 620.
welcome in the name of Jesus. You're all invited to join us for coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. We'll have our Sunday school opening right back in here in about 10 or 12 minutes, so we got plenty of time. Check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes for the activities and events that are happening in the days and weeks ahead. With the ice and weather issues last week, we had a few changes. LWML, which was supposed to be last Monday, is now tomorrow night, this Monday. The big soup dinner cook-off, which was supposed to be last Sunday, is now next Sunday. So those are the biggest changes that we had to make. On Tuesday of this week is Congregational Voters Assembly, so all the members of the congregation, 18 and over, are invited to come and participate. Others can come and watch. Check out in the Good Shepherd News and Notes, there's information. The youth are doing a fundraiser with Super Bowl subs, and I think there's a sign-up for that out there as well. Sounds like a good deal, and check all that out. Note here that I have no idea what it says. So that's not good. All right. And also there is a shower for Pastor Marundi's wife and new baby, Rachel Lauren. That's at 2 o'clock this afternoon here at the church. 2 o'clock this afternoon. P-I-A-O. That's what it looks like I wrote down. Anybody have any idea what I'm trying to say there? Oh, maybe that's what it was. I just can't read my writing. Thank you. You can decipher better than me. Fundraiser for Pediatric Cancer Action Network. Pancake feed on February 2nd. Sign up sheets out there. Check that out. And it's a good cause and we can use lots of help. All right. Thank you. Vicar, anything else? Pastor? I think we're done. Join us for Bible study. Pastor's teaching class on Mormonism with the youth. When he's done with that, we'll start a new Summary of Christian Doctrine class. But we'll continue our look at the formula of Concord. Today we begin our study with Article 2 and free will, perhaps the most important section of all in the Lutheran confessions for us today. So please join us for goodies and a study of God's Word. Have a great day in the light of Christ.